Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Matt Spiegel. This is the Parkins Show. Ryan McGuffey alongside today. This is Chris Tannehill.
Okay, Russ, for the score in Chicago. The Danny Parkins Show.
Least helpful local talk show host, Danny Parkins.
Afternoons on the Score.
Give people a recommendation of something to watch this weekend without the Bears speaks.
Oh, something.
What have you been enjoying?
How about football?
Football. Football. What's a football? With unconscious will, my voice squeaked out.
Football.
Henry getting free. Henry's going to end the game. Titans take it in overtime.
No Bears to dissect in terms of watching around the NFL. Higher quality of football, perhaps.
Off the fake to Sanders. He's the release, but an off-target throw is intercepted by Sione Takitaki. Pick six to the house for the Browns.
Enjoy Sunday with no Bears and a lot of football.
Ben is in the backfield by himself. Wide side to his right. He gets the snap. Throws it long down the near sideline. Chase Claypool with a diving grab for a touchdown for Claypool, the rookie out of Notre Dame.
The Dallas Cowboys have beaten the Minnesota Vikings, stopping a three-game winning streak, stopping a four-game losing streak for the Cowboys, who proved victorious out of the bye.
Here's the snap and the placement. Swing to the right leg, and the kick is right down the boulevard. It is good, and the Indianapolis Colts in overtime have defeated the Green Bay Packers 34-31. It's a beautiful
day. No dogs, and no cats, and no bears.
This is the greatest day of my life.
Man, you're so funny, man.
The Danny Parkins Show.
That's what all the kids listen to you, man. You are the best thing on the radio!
Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Ah, the best. Thank you, Chris Tannehill. He and Shane Reardon producing this week as Nick Shepkowski is off. It's the Parkins Show. I'm Spiegel. I'm here today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Tomorrow and Wednesday with Danny. And Ryan McGuffey is here with me today from 2 to 6. And yes, Guff, do you enjoy yourself a Bearsless Sunday, into Sunday night in terms of the NFL? Do you enjoy that, sir?
I don't enjoy it. I love it. I feel like I wake up feeling like a sense of, like, it's hard to even put into words. I mean, you have your cup of coffee and your whole day's ahead of you, knowing it can't be spoiled for 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at on the Bears right now. We're all at the, that's where we're at.
Yeah, man. It was really nice to not think about them. And I realized that watching good offenses doesn't even have the context it used to have for me, where I'd be like, you know, let's learn what else does Mitch Trubisky need, or let's learn what else does Matt Nagy need, or let's watch the Chiefs last night, and or watch an Andy Reid offense in Philly with Doug Peterson. Let's watch these offense and say, okay, well, we could be like this if we only had no. The Bears just suck so bad as an offense; they're so completely broken that it's just like they live in a one-team bubble for me now. As I watch them and think about
them, I'm not even looking for elite anymore. We're searching for competence, like. Find that 15th, 16th, 17th ranking and like sign me up and I'll put it in pen. I mean, I'm watching, forget the Chiefs. Watch the Raiders last night with envy. Yeah. It was just with complete envy. All the people who ripped Gruden, you know, he's got that thing like going in the right direction. And maybe the Khalil Mack trade wasn't awful. And I know I'm saying like crazy stuff. 10 years for 100 million is crazy. But I'm watching this going like, he's doing it with a quarterback that he told you when he walked in to Oakland that he necessarily didn't even like in Derek Carr. Yet here's Derek Carr going up and down the field on the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'm just thinking, man, what would that look like? Forget the Chiefs part of it, because I already know what that feels like.
You know what they did first, too, these Raiders, especially this year early on? They ran the ball. Josh Jacobs ran it hard and strong and direct power stuff right at you. Look at
that. Brian Engel's been there a lot, the fullback, speaking to their emphasis more on the run than it used to be.
James Harden.
Makes his first appearance.
There was a point last night where Michael said, like, I feel like David Carr's the third guy in the booth. Because that microphone was so hot on the audibles. That's tremendous.
I mean, I love it. He probably had I'm surprised he didn't set an over-under on that, knowing Michael's allegiance to gambling throughout a broadcast. But no, you're watching throughout the league yesterday. Like, I'm watching the Colts, and I want to ask Boomer Esiason about this later, about the Colts. Like, that's a team that there's nothing sexy about, including the quarterback who they brought in at 40, and you're expecting Phillip Rivers to be awful, and yet here they are dominating the Packers, who look like they were going to run away and hide in the second half, and it goes a complete flip script. They outscore the Packers 20-3, and I'm watching the Colts going, man, where's their respect? Why aren't they playing on Sunday Night Football? They have a competent head coach in Frank Reich that the Colts didn't even want. They have Chris Ballard as a GM who knows exactly what it's like to put some protection together for a guy like Phillip Rivers, who's 40, going, who do I want to be? Oh, look at that team. They built a line. I'll take them.
Yeah, that's smart. And, you know, who do the Colts play next Sunday? It's the Titans. Put that on Sunday night. Go ahead.
No brainer.
Give me that. Give me that instead of what's the trash that we get next Sunday night? Oh, yeah, it's us. It's us. We get to watch another national embarrassment.
Do me a favor and go back and watch that Colts game.
It's going to be hard to expect anything less than a national embarrassment, because Aaron Rodgers coming off losses is crazy.
Does it even matter? Does it even matter they lost or won? Like, where the state of the Bears are? I mean, if you're on the Twitch feed, Spiegs is holding his head already. We're only 20 minutes into the show. God, I mean, we have a lot going on here. But
I know, man. It's just this from Mark Potash after his last three games following a loss. For Rodgers, one of them was at San Francisco, 4 touchdowns, no inties, 147 quarterback rating. At Houston, 4 touchdowns, no inties, 132. At the Giants, 4 touchdowns, no inties, 125. Those are his last three games after a loss. So he gets the Bears all pissed off on a Sunday night at Lambeau Field. Good luck, everybody.
Well, at least it should be over in 70 minutes and not the full 3 hours and 20. But I will say this, Speaks, I was watching the game yesterday, and I'm thinking, as I'm watching, which game on this slate reminds me most of the game we're going to watch Sunday night? Heavy question. It's not that loaded of a question. So of the games you watched yesterday, which is the one that said, like, stood out to you as this is probably what it's going to be like on Sunday night against the Packers?
Interesting. Well, let's discuss, because I was in a non-red zone situation yesterday at my in-laws' house. It's it's the only house that we've expanded our circle into this entire time, and we remain expanded into that circle. So, I was there, and I was in non-red zone, but you didn't need red zone really to dig most of the day. Early on, you had two pretty good games. You had the Saints and you had the Titans games, and then you had the Packers and the Colts, and then primetime was delightful. So it was a good day to not have the red zone. Yes.
So you can eliminate those four, obviously, from games that are most resemble Sunday night between the Packers and the Bears.
Okay. All right. Well, then
I have two. I have a 1 and a 1A. I think, to me, it's Pittsburgh.
Hold on. We got to take a break. So we'll come back and we'll pay that off as we talk a little more NFL without the Bears. And we will talk some college football today as well. Efforting a college football guest of consequence later on, which would truly be outstanding. We'll see. Boomer Esiason coming up at the top of the hour, and Steve Ashburner at 3:40. And we'll talk more Jed and Cubs along the way. That is for sure. It's Spiegs and Ryan McGuffey on the Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
Do you think this is a new phase of the offense?
I do. I think it's an extra phase to the offense.
Deep shot. Caught. Touchdown. Claypool.
Chase Claypool with the touchdown, one of many he's had for the Steelers this year, this hour.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
670 The Score is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. It's Matt Spiegel and Ryan McGuffey here on The Parkins Show. Before the break, Guff asked which game from the NFL's slate yesterday reminded him most of what the Packers and the Bears is probably going to look like this coming Sunday night. And did Chris Tannehill read your mind and give us a clue right there with the Steelers touchdown, Guff?
Yeah, I kind of fumbled going to break. But Chase Claypool, by the way, first rookie wideout in history with 10 touchdowns in his first 10 career games. I mean, that's insane.
My God.
So there's a little Chase Claypool nugget. I'll play off of Tannehill if he's going to play off of me. Yeah, there are two games, and I have an explanation for the Steelers and Jaguars. Just an ugly matchup on paper, one-sided. Ugly first quarter, 3-0 Jaguars at the end of one. You're feeling like, okay, like this is odd. The Jags are hanging around. They hung around against the Packers. And then the Steelers went to work. It was 17-3 at the half. Then it was nothing happened in the third quarter. And then it was 27-3 as it should be. It kind of feels like the Bears could tease us a little bit with like an ugly 3-0 lead after one. And then Aaron Rodgers looks up and is like, oh, we're live. Let's go. That's one game I have in mind.
Yeah, no, that's good. And I saw that that was it. Jake Luton, that's the guy who was playing quarterback for them. He had the 20th worst game in the history of the NFL in terms of quarterback rating. 20th worst game, and that's with, by the way, going 4-for-4 when he turned the ball over on downs at the end. So take that away, it was probably even worse. But yeah, they're terrible. So thanks for that one. Okay,
you're welcome. And then my other one is just a whole bunch of ugly. Which the colors and everything, the Cleveland Browns and the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, that game screamed, don't even watch me. Just look at the score updates and be furious all day long. If you're an Eagles fan, for some reason, I have an insane amount of friends that are Eagles fans. So I commiserate with them in their misery, but it's for different reasons. They're just an awful watch, and they kind of like play down everyone else's badness. Not that the Browns are bad. It was ugly from start to finish. The Browns dominated the game, but the score didn't say that. And it could be it's somewhere in the middle. I would vote Steelers Jaguars. I feel like it's going to be more that way.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. And I hope to hell it's not like that, but it could be. You know, you mentioned the Eagles, and we're talking about a little bit some of these other Andy Reid offenses. You realize how bad Carson Wentz has been?
Oh yeah,
he leads the NFL in interceptions and in fumbles, both. He's just handing the ball away as well as not producing when he does hold on to the ball and throw it to his own people. So he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
I pride myself in being a fantasy football GM, and my history shows that, except for this year. And it's because Carson Wentz is my quarterback on a team that I've never hated more. And it's a big reason why I just can't watch the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, Wentz is like, he's awful. Now, they have a lot of problems, but he's certainly he's number one, two, and three. I mean, you cannot turn the ball over. He's turning the ball over like a guy who's, you know, making his first start every week. It's insane. They're always playing from behind. It's a joke.
Yeah. So what are we learning then? What are we learning then about NFL offense? Seems like the quarterback is pretty important. Obviously, you know, in the big thing that we're thinking about, trying to figure out what is scheme, what is quarterback, what is coaching, what is talent around you. Pat Mahomes, good. Okay, got that. But both Wentz and Nick Foles were real good with the Doug Peterson version of the Andy Reid offense. And now we don't want a piece of either one of them. Obviously, you don't want Foles. You've seen what that looks like now here these last several weeks. And you don't want Wentz now either. So what the hell? Would somebody please step up and just give us the clear wisdom? I would just like the clear clarity of picture here to try and figure out what the hell's going on.
10 days ago on this show with you, I said I'm sick of hearing about the Andy Reid tree, and you're just giving me more fuel to say that I know Doug Peterson has a ring and Nick Foles won a Super Bowl MVP, so he wrote a book, so he's created his own little lane. So Doug Peterson's going to be fine no matter what.
But yesterday,
the Andy Reid tree.
I was being told yesterday that Frank Reich doesn't get enough credit for the Philly special and everything that went on in Philly when they won it. There's Frank Reich and Trey Burton with the Colts recreating that, and that getting called out for more Andy Reid tree action.
He's never gotten credit his entire life. I mean, the Music City, like the miracle guy. Come on, the guy, again, in Indianapolis, he wasn't even the first choice, yet here he is, like just churning out win after win after win, and everyone's just going, well, they have Philip Rivers. They have Frank Reich too.
And his college roommate? Who's his college roommate? Do you know Frank Reich's college roommate?
I know this. Oh God, it's killing me.
Max Rustifer.
Not him. Good guess though. Excellent guess.
Was it Nota Begay?
Not Nota Begay. This is good.
Is it
college
is it
roommates?
Is it Ballard?
No, I like this. It's not Nota Begay.
Bozart.
No, it's not Tommy Lee Jones. These are famous college roommates.
Tommy Hotovy?
Not Tommy Hotovy.
Tommy Hotovy.
Juan Uribe.
None
of these people.
Okay. Yeah. Who do you got?
Tommy Lee Jones, by the way, was the college roommate of Al Gore at Harvard, I think. Right? I think I have that right.
That's amazing.
But yeah, this is, I'm full of stuff that nobody asked or wants to know.
I've heard this. It's hitting me hard. I've heard this one.
He's our guest at 3 o'clock. He's dropped it in.
Yes.
Boomer Esiason's college roommate is, I believe, well, I'll ask him, is Frank Reich. It better be now that I made a whole thing out of it.
I feel like Boomer is much older than Frank Reich.
Well, you would think that. You would.
They were both starring in the early to mid. Well, I say starring, like Frank starred in certain games, and
you
Boomer
know,
starred.
Frank replaced Boomer at Maryland. That much I know. So they're pretty damn close. I think they're pretty
All you
damn
need,
close.
If they've roomed together for a semester, you get credit for this. Like if.
Yeah, or how about a weekend? Could I get a weekend?
Like they changed roommates. They felt like a. Yeah, they didn't feel a fit there, so they changed roommate. Okay.
Or Frank Reich made his college visit, and like Boomer was the one who showed him around Maryland.
Him. He hosted him.
Yeah. Do I get that?
Did you ever do that? Speaks. Did you ever? It was fun. That was a fun.
Yeah, absolutely. A great thing. My mom did that for a young girl when my mom was in college at Douglas, which was the female version of Rutgers before they just combined. because they, you know, women needed their own school because they couldn't be too close to the men. There were things that she told me about that. There was a rule you had to have at least 1 foot on the floor at all the time and the door open if you had a man in your room. If you had a man in your room, you had to have 1 foot on the floor.
Challenges creativity, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And then the person that she hosted for a college visit was Yoko Ono. She was Yoko Ono's roommate. True story. She hosted Yoko Ono for her college weekend at Douglas as she was debating
that
whether to go
amazing.
There or not.
I wonder if she's a part of a song.
Bad one. A really bad song.
Speaks confirming Boomer and Frank Reich were roommates in college by a WFAN story on radio.com of Frank Reich taking an oyster shooter, you know, which is cocktail sauce, vodka, and an oyster, and not liking it so much, he spit it back out his nose.
Oh,
so maybe a good thing to talk to Boomer about today.
This is good. I had a Colts question anyway. This is perfect.
This just became the lead for the Boomer thing. All right. So I'm watching yesterday and this Packers narrative is playing out before my eyes. And I want to find out if there's anybody in the country or the city or the show that feels the same way. We'll talk about it next. It's Spiegs and Ryan McGuffey on the Parkins Show on the Score.
Today actually gave me a lot of confidence in our guys. I know that might sound weird and we lost and we turned them all over 4 times, but there was a different type of energy this week of practice. I thought it carried over to today. Obviously the atmosphere helped having a bunch of Packer fans there, even though it was obviously significantly less than it would be in a normal year. But I did get a lot of confidence based on the way we practiced this week. I felt like this was the first week all season we practiced like a great team and not just kind of a good team. So that was encouraging. I figured the performance would be really solid based on that. And that's how it goes sometimes.
That's Aaron Rodgers, whose numbers yesterday did nothing to detract from his MVP contention. In fact, led the Packers down for a field goal that tied it and sent it to overtime. And then the fumble on Marquez Valdez-Scantling is obviously not on Rodgers. But he will get another shot against the Bears this coming Sunday night on NBC. It's the Parkins Show. It's Matt Spiegel, Ryan McGuffey right here on the Score. Yeah, it comes with a sigh, doesn't it? It really, it feels like it's going to simply be awful. I heard Bernsey made a point this morning, and I think it's correct, that every time we've waited for these Matt Nagy Bears for a long time for anything, they've come out and just crapped the bed. You know, whether it was that entire offseason where here comes Mitch 2.0 and they come out and they get the Packers and it just falls apart on a Thursday, or whether it's the beginning of a year or like, oh, here we go. Here's the now with the Nick Foles era can begin. It's like, all right, here we go off the bye and the Packers, I'm supposed to expect that this is going to be good. No, they switch play callers and we're all looking forward to that. And that sucked. Like everything just kind of sucks.
You know, like the bye week usually brings this like sense of, oh man, like I don't know how we're going to make it through the next 2 weeks. And that did not cross my mind 1 second from the time the Bears game went final to right now, thinking about the anticipation of what I don't want Sunday night to get here. Like that's how bad this is. I don't know. Like, I don't want to watch the train wreck again. I don't.
But you want me to talk to my calendar guy for you? See if we can move some things around?
Can you find? Yeah, because I'd prefer the 325 slot, right, to be honest with you, over the 720 slot. So.
Oh, and so you could flip the channel away or something? Yeah, or so you don't have to think about it all day?
Part of me just, like, I don't want to, like, why am I ending my night with this? You know?
But that's the thing. Like, last night, you know, look, so can the Bears stay on bye is the overriding question here. Can they just stay on bye? But last night, you know, you can have a drink, have a cocktail or two and fall asleep and miss that second half and wake up and catch it. If the Bears suck, you can just fall asleep on them. That's the ultimate ignominy, isn't it? It's like, you know what? Screw you. I'm going to bed. The difference is
you can have a really good old fashioned when you're watching like Chiefs and Raiders. And then you just grab the cheap stuff when you're watching Bears Packers. Like, just make it hurt.
Just whatever's handy.
Yeah. It's going to be a headache in the morning anyway. Oh, I mean, why not?
All right. So I'm watching the Packers game with my brother-in-law yesterday, right? And Moises, he's making me laugh because he is, the whole first half, he's crying about how the Packers get all the calls. How the refs always, they give it for Green Bay. And I'm like, you know these people? You know these people in our world? It's like the Packers, the NFL loves the Packers. And I'm trying to talk some sense into them. And then I'm kind of rolling my eyes and stuff like that. And, you know, I was like, okay, well, it's okay. He's a lovely, he's a wonderful guy. I enjoy him very much. We're having a good time. We're at his house. The TV's wonderful. Having a great time. And then that Colts last drive in regulation happens. And because the Colts had basically put it away. If people didn't watch, they converted a fourth down attempt inside the two-minute warning. They had the ball inside the two-minute warning with a first down. It should basically be over. But instead, the refs call penalty after penalty after penalty after penalty on the Colts. Five penalties in an eight-play span. And that doesn't even tell the whole story. The Packers declined two more penalties. There were seven overall penalties on the Colts there towards the end. And that meant that the clock kept stopping again and again and again. They snapped the ball 14 times and ran a total of a minute 41 off the clock in 14 snaps. And though there is Aaron Rodgers giving the ball with a timeout and what, a buck 20, something like that. He had a 120 or 106 and a timeout, plenty of time to drive down. And they could have been more efficient, frankly, as they went down and they got inside the red zone. But it was like, whew, I was laughing at him the whole time for this Packers get all the calls narrative. And then there I am watching flag after flag after flag on the Colts. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, look, I hear you. That entire drive, you're talking about the, like, third and six, or third and 10 at the 6 yard line, Aaron Rodgers throws one up for Valdez Scantling at midfield and makes an incredible catch with three defenders around him. That kind of sets the tone for the rest of that drive. I mean, hell, they almost, I think they were at like the 5 or 6 yard line on an incomplete on third and three to set up the field goal. But that pass that Rodgers makes in a big play,
it's
unbelievable. Like, it's just, that's the envy, like, you want to, like, hate Aaron? I don't hate Aaron Rodgers. I know there's, it's like he's got that jerk face, like that Cutler jerk face without, like, with the talent that you dream of. And that, I don't hate him. And I know that that might not sit well in Chicago, but it's because on third and I think most Bears fans realize they'd take Aaron Rodgers 20 times a week. I mean, it's third and 10 at the, if the Bears are third and 10 at their own six at any point in the game,
punt. Just go ahead. Just go ahead. Or run it for 4 yards. Get O'Donnell a little bit more
four,
room.
4 yards?
Excuse me. Well, you get the element of surprise at that point. They figure you're gonna throw so you can double.
I like the punt option, to be honest with you. Because then if you have an offensive penalty, it's still fourth down. So it's good.
Yeah.
I like it.
You get two tries at punting it at that point.
Oh my
god. There's a play, I think it might have been his first pass of the whole game, where Rodgers throws it to Devontae Adams and Joe Buck makes on the call. Like, he's like, Rodgers didn't even have to, or Adams didn't even have to move his arms. It was like a 25-yard deep pass directly into the chest of the wide receiver, and he does that freaking over and over and over. So look, I know the refs don't intend to help the Packers, but there towards the end, it was like I was trying to laugh off the narrative, and I couldn't laugh it off because some of those calls were ridiculous, though, on the Colts. Didn't you think as you were watching that game?
Horrible. I mean, they're literally laughable. Like, at that point, you're not even like, that's a bad call. They're laughable calls. I will say this. They bring a baseball analogy into it. You kind of, you know, you earn your calls. Like, when there's a veteran pitcher on the mound, you're like, huh, probably not a strike. Oh, it's John Lester or Clayton Kershaw. Okay, like, that makes sense. If it's close, he's going to get it. If you're a good team and a great quarterback, Hall of Fame quarterback, sometimes, maybe at certain scenarios in the game, you might get a questionable call or four.
Yeah, texters getting in here, speaks. Those were all blatant holds. Not all of them. Most of them were. Corey in Whitewater, Wisconsin, speaks. Don't forget the absurd DPI call at the end of the first half when it was a 50-50 Hail Mary. Rodgers threw. It gave the Packers an extra TD at halftime. Here's another. No matter what they do, somehow they always get the calls. The NFL does whatever they have to seem really keep them alive. So there are people out there that believe that. And yesterday, even though they lost the game, is only going to embolden that a little bit more.
We're in the Midwest. Like, tonight, let's watch Tom Brady and see how many calls he gets. Seriously. We watch the Bears and the Packers here. That's what we do. So, like, we are going to always side with the team that has most of the success. And going, oh, look at them. They get everything. They get the great quarterbacks. They get all the calls. They all get all the wins. You know what? That's what happens. You know, everything they've done is right over the past four decades, and it hasn't worked out here.
Yeah. This texter talking about how he expects to feel at the end of next Sunday night, as we were discussing. Guff. I, for one, am really looking forward to going to sleep irrationally angry after the Bears lose 23-12 Sunday night after watching every other team in the league have a remotely competent offense. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Save that tweet. Send it to me so when I'm watching it in the third quarter, I can reside to that and at least share my misery with somebody, because that's fantastic.
He's Ryan McGuffey. I'm Matt Spiegel. This is the Parkins Show. We will talk about Jed Hoyer and his first day and his speech and his Q&A that went down. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But next hour, Steve Ashburner on NBA free agent frenzy and craziness. And coming up in a moment, it's Boomer Esiason for his Monday hit, this time with a bonus, not much Bears. That's next on The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.